Hi, I'm Mike Maloney, and welcome to another CSRM podcast. Today's episode is hosted by Dr. Greg Linville.
Well, hello, friends, and welcome to another CSRM podcast. You're joined with a couple of CSRM staff members. I'm Dan Stouffer. I'm also joined with Scott Stedman, who is producing this for us and spinning the dials here, and Dr. Greg Linville. We have been discussing in this series the book Scent, talking about missiology. And today we're going to really talk about it because we're going to talk about international missions. And so if you're on a church staff, or maybe you're on a missions board, or maybe you're a sports minister who's had some partnership with your church's missions board in terms of maybe a sports-driven mission trip, we're going to talk about what international missions looks like. And this chapter was written by one of our staff members who will join us in the future, P.F. Myers. Many of you know him. He's written some other books, including the Life of the Shoe, a great staff member of ours who has a ton of experience in this. So we'll do a future podcast more in depth on this. But we're going to take his writing and just really have a conversation here. So I want to open the floor to both Scott and Greg. One of the key issues in this chapter, it talks about the international missions being redefined in a lot of different ways. And I guess a great question to ask here is why? And so maybe you have some experience with this. Why would we want to redefine international missions for the local church? Any thoughts on that, guys?
Well, I think P.F. puts it, the writer of the chapter puts it well when he says that we need to change our mentality here rather than that he calls it kind of an elitist approach to missions. And what that means is that I'm going to write you a check so you can go do it. We need to change from that to actually engaging more in it. Or if we are like sending a short-term group to do an international mission, it's interesting how many of those end up in the Caribbean islands, and it really becomes a vacation with a Bible verse and rather than actually a mission that maybe has a wonderful setting to do it in. And so I think that that's some of the changes of mentality, that we move from an elitist, as he calls it, to a subordinate ministry and mission, that we're really going there for other people rather than for us, and that we are not just funding it, but we're actually engaged in it. Scott, your thoughts?
Yeah, I would agree with that. Having a couple of buddies, especially within my doctoral program, who fly all the way from Africa to, you know, get their doctorate, you know, just talking about missionaries and missions over there, it can become very rooted in kind of that colonial mindset where, you know, you're there to kind of help, you know, fix everything or save people, and then you feel good about yourselves, but then you only do it for a short span and you really build no relationship to the people and the culture that's there and the time that you're doing.
He talks about sacred cows. Now, if you have any experience with any local church, you know that there are things called sacred cows. And anytime you try to make changes, obviously that can lead to some difficult times, some difficult conversations, some struggle. And so when PF talks about dispensing with sacred cows, when it comes to international missions, what does that look like? What experience have you guys personally had with that when it comes to getting rid of some of these sacred cows?
Go ahead, Scott.
I don't know. I don't want to offend anybody. Well, I mean, I think my frustration, because I'm a big like local ministry person. So I like to, for me, my mindset's always like, you know, if there's people already doing ministry and doing missions work overseas, why are we neglecting those who are hungry, who are thirsty, who are naked in our midst? So I know one of the big sacred cows, it's almost like for me that international missions is like the true missions. Like, you know what I mean? It's more of just like, you know, if you're not doing international missions trip, if you're not supporting international missions, then there must be something wrong with you if you're supporting your local missions or doing local stuff. And I find that in some ways to kind of be insulting, because I think, you know, Jesus even said that, you know, in this world, you're going to have trouble. And that's not just those who are overseas, who haven't heard the gospel yet. But it's everybody. Everybody all over the world is going to go through problems, and everybody does need the hope and love and the redemptive nature of Jesus Christ in their lives.
Yeah, and the sacred cows are not just in international missions, but in local missions and in our local congregations. They're also in our paraministry world. We all have them, and we have to constantly be willing and ready to embrace what needs to be done, rather than what has always been done. And that's just a constant evaluation. And I think PF puts out some wonderful things here in the chapter, that we have to embrace the cultures. And we have gone through this in our soteriology book and podcasts and other places, where the Celtic style, to go into the Celtic barbarian of the 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th century AD, embraced the Celtic culture rather than saying it was all evil. And just one little example of it, they worship the circle, the orbs, they worship the sun, they worship the moon, they worship the circle of life. And so the Celtic evangelists put the circle on the cross. The Celtic cross has the cross with a circle around it. And what they were trying, and what they did in a visual way of embracing that culture, was saying, yes, there is the sun, there is the moon, there is a circle to life. But then they put the cross on top of it, and the circle was in the back. Any Celtic cross, the circle is supposed to be in the back, and the cross is foremost. And it said, but the cross, the Lord God, he's the one that created those. He's the one that empowers those. He's the one that keeps those orbs spinning, if you will. And so in similar ways, what PF is asking us to do is to embrace that culture. And part of that, he points out, is that we're supposed to partner and learn from those that we go to. It's not just that we're taking everything and giving them everything because they don't know anything, but it's a give and take. And not just that we're coming to serve, but another point that he makes is that we are to partner with them, and it's to be equal. And that's a tough, tough time. And so embracing and sharing leadership, that kind of thing, is very important. But there's something else that goes on often, and it's becoming more prevalent in local missions, but it has been true many places. And we're going to talk about this in the next chapter of our book, and that is the persecution. There's suffering and persecution, and that we need to run to that, understanding that that's right where we need to be. And I know one of our international staff people that will go unnamed has about 200 unreached people groups in their country, 200 in one country. And this country is predominated by another religious tradition. And what they've asked us to do is to pray for each of those 200 groups that there would be a Saul who becomes a Paul, just like the New Testament, not the Old Testament King Saul, but the New Testament Saul, who was a persecutor of the church until Jesus stopped him on the road to Damascus. And then he became Paul and became the world's greatest evangelist. And so that there is going to be, as we're trying to go in and embrace and treat as equals, that group that we're going to and learning from them as much as they're learning from us, there's still going to be those persecutions. And we need to run to that because that's where the gospel needs to be proclaimed. And I think that's a very hard thing, but it certainly takes us out of that elitist mode, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think as we redefine this and get rid of the sacred cows, start to tip them over, I think that allows us to ask a lot of these questions like, okay, why are we going to the same places we've always gone? Why do we, when we go, why are we seen as the experts, you know, instead of all being equals? Why do we forget about the boots on the ground, the people who already live there, already have the influence in their city, their village? Let's partner with them. And I think another question that I love to kind of have us have a conversation with here is the method of our missions in reaching people. And of course, when it comes to a sports rec and fitness model, we know it can be highly effective. We know about football, or what we call here soccer stateside. We know that is the universal sport and there's opportunity there. So I'd love to hear maybe some of your experiences, guys, or your learnings, maybe if you've done a short-term missions that maybe wasn't planned to be a sports-focused mission trip, but it became one and how successful it was, or maybe something that was very intentionally meant to be a sports outreach mission trip for your local church and how it went. So have you guys had any experience with that?
One of the great examples within the CSRM realm is that there was a church from the States that sent a group to one of our staff men in Africa. And they spent a couple weeks there. They got some really great relationships begun. And then they invited that group from Africa to come back to their place in the States and do a mission to them. And that was a powerful model. And what then grew out of that was that that church from America then provided the funds for a ball-making machine that our staff guy in Africa was then able to hire some people to actually make balls at a much, much reduced rate that empowered not only that their local sports ministry, but others that received the balls. So I think sometimes one of the models is, can we actually bring people to us? And anybody that's listening, we've got our CSRM staff coming to America. We would love to have you connect with them. In fact, around the Reach Gathering in April, if your church would love to have one of these internationals come for a few days before or after Reach, and you could help provide some finances and accommodations and transportation, well, all the more your church can get partnered with just about any place in the world. I don't know that we have anybody in Antarctica, but we on the other six continents, we have relationships and you can make it happen. So Dan, I think that's something that we can think about.
Yeah. And I think anytime our missions board try to reimagine maybe the effectiveness of missions, if we could be a voice and help them to understand and to see, hey, sports ministry can be a big part of this. We've used this word a lot in recent podcasts, and I think it's just a big part of who we are. But yeah, if we can partner together. And so I think maybe your local church sports ministry and you sports minister, get outside of your silo and start to have a conversation. If you have a missions pastor or a missions board, hey, what can we do together to be more effective for the gospel using sports rec and fitness as a tool for international missions? Or could we contact an organization like CSRM to see who they already have located, boots on the ground people around the world, except Antarctica, unless we get maybe ice fishing or something there at some point. But what can we do with people who are already doing this, and how can we support them? How can we partner with them? I think that really transforms how we view international missions. We've got about 5 minutes left, guys. I'd love to hear just kind of that continued conversation about how can we move from not running away from, I think Greg mentioned earlier, suffering and persecution. Greg, I think you painted that picture. You know, a lot of times mission trips become a glorified vacation with a Bible verse tied to it. Been there, done that. We're left wanting when that happens. Or we may go to a difficult part of the world, but we may stay in a nice resort or hotel. What does it look like to not run away from suffering or persecution or even feeling uncomfortable in a mission type focus?
Well, I can speak because I'm looking at taking a group of people to Nairobi next year with one of my buddies who's a pastor out there who also runs an orphanage out there in Nairobi. And one of the key things that he's dealing with now is that there is a lot of the view of children is very less than. And already he had to be in court at least 3 times in the past month to be a voice and the advocate for children who are being either neglected or being mistreated. And I think, you know, when you're planning a trip and you hear this stuff, you're thinking, do I really want to plan my trip and go here? Because it seems like it's going to be very uncomfortable. But I also think that if anybody is planning a trip, especially in a country where there are some questions, you have to remember that we as Christians are supposed to be embodiments of Jesus Christ. And we too have a message and a voice to be the light in darkness. So yeah, I may not be going. So if I'm over there in Nairobi, I may not be sitting in court advocating for somebody, but while my minister buddy's doing that, I'm back at the orphanage caring and loving and playing games and doing things with children to make sure that they see that there are people or adult males who actually care for them and love them.
You know, I think, Dan, the PF shows us in the latter part of the book that he outlines it as a 4-step process. And the first one is to share the vision. The second one is to transfer the vision. Third one is to work the vision. And the fourth one is to release the vision. And now this is not speaking to the short-term mission, but rather a church or a denomination or a mission group that wants to have this sports outreach methodology. It's got to take some time for this. And we often phrase this domestically as our 4M approach. The first M is to model it. So I'm going to do it and you're going to watch me do it. We've talked about this before. So you're sharing the vision in an active way. They see it. Vision is something that's seen. So they see the vision. And then to transfer it, the next M is to mentor it. And that means that we'll do it together. So you watch me do it, and now we'll do it together. And then the third M is that I'm going to monitor it. I'm going to work it. And in the book here, the working the vision, I've been doing the work, and you've been watching me. We've done it together, and now you're going to do it. You're going to work it, and I'm going to be there to monitor it and to really be supportive, but you're doing more and more of the leadership. That scripture, it's not quite analogous to this, but I must decrease so he can increase. It's that kind of principle. And then finally, the last M is simply to motivate it, that they're not even there. Whoever got this vision out there, they're not even there anymore. But the person who's continuing on, they realize that in PF's words here, they've experienced that fourth level, and that is that they've released it. And that person has actually been delegated every aspect of it. And yet we are there if they need us. I think that we simply have to recognize that there is an increasing pressure around the world to kill Christians, to persecute Christians, to ostracize Christians. And when we're asking people to go onto the mission field, we just need to recognize that this is not for the faint of heart. It can be very, very difficult.
And our world continues to prove that. And what I love about this conversation is that we'll go more in depth in the future as we have PF on for one of our podcasts. He is the expert in this field. If you'd like to have some training, or you'd like some more information about how your church or even how your sports ministry can reimagine this or be focused on this, please reach out to us. We'll get you in touch with PF, who could get you in touch with people all around the world who could really help you out and really have a great partnership. So whether you go across the street or across the sea, which sometimes, like Greg just said, can be very difficult, but I think this conversation helps us to reimagine that, get refocused. PF mentions in this book, sometimes because missions can be so messed up, sometimes it's better that we don't go on mission trips, but we actually just send money because the structure just isn't what it should be. But if we do go across the sea or across the street, we just know, friends, that we are sent. We're sent. God has sent us. He's given us the power to go and to make dedicated disciples. That's what this book is all about. And we just encourage you to get a copy today. Go to the CSRM website, csrm.org, and you can click on our online bookstore and you can order your copy there today. Grab this and look at chapter 9 with your missions board. Have a conversation. Start to think about, okay, how can my sports ministry partner with my missions board or my missions pastor to reimagine this, to get refocused? And we pray that God will use your conversation to direct your path. So that's all the time we have for today. Please join us next time as we continue the conversation with Sent. Take care.
The CSRM Podcast is a production of CSRM and their production house, Overwhelming Victory. Dr. Greg Linville is the executive producer, and Scott Stedman is the associate producer and editor. To learn more about CSRM, visit csrm.org. For more information about Overwhelming Victory, visit overwhelmingvictory.org. The CSRM Podcast is the flagship member of the podcast network Overwhelming Victory Radio. For more information on Overwhelming Victory Radio, or to listen to our partner podcasts, visit overwhelmingvictory.org/OV Radio. For CSRM Podcasts, I'm Mike Maloney. Have a blessed day.